Okay, maybe Priya Ratha. Hello, hello. Hello, hello. So, maybe Priya Ratha. I'm just considering this old man looking back and analyzing a bit this Hare Krishna movement. And I'm of course not the only one. There has been for years, well, for a long time now actually, debates going on. Well, basically the situation, if I should simplify it, being that some while some, as is usually the case in religious organizations and so on, they feel it as their duty to defend their group or whatever, because of course it is great and good and true, and that's why they joined it, right? So, and especially if it is kind of a little bit of counterculture or out, how to say, outsider group like that in society, and they get criticized, as we did, for being a cult or this and that. There was quite some heavy pressure on us from the people, both of the other religions and of non-religions and of those who simply thought we looked weird. So yeah, we all know that. So then you of course you find yourself in a defensive stance, so to speak, and you tend to be in that mode of it's all but for me, three, there was splinter group defended mainstream, you could say, is gone against these Well, I mean, again, defense. So, yeah. And then now we are in the situation where we have the internet, where you just find perfume against ASCON or of ASCON all over the place.
Basically, everything
that was and is done wrong. And then, I don't know, but it seems that it's a, well, it's probably more nuanced now, but back then, and my impression or understanding I simply see myself as a servant of Prabhupada and the Sankirtan movement, Lord Chaitanya, and so on, with the spirit that I got from there, namely that this is non-sectarian, this is about self-realization, how to become truly happy, and how to get this upside down world in place again. So, and that's why I joined this movement, and that's here in this Gaudiya mission. So that, and whether you like what I say here or not, whether you think I should be allowed to say what I think here or not, it's up to you. But I guess I am speaking to those who are, I would say, come on, the majority of all of us who joined or passed through ISKCON through the years, and who, I would say, from my generation especially, probably, and that, well, that you could say a little bit before us, the Prabhupada disciples especially, the pioneers, that, you know, there were some really big sacrifices. Young people just basically sacrificing their lives to Krishna, to Prabhupada. And, you know, I just have to say I have the greatest respect for, and I would say, not in the sense of up there Guruji, but, you know, really personal respect for the personal sacrifices done, but also compassion in a way, because I've seen also, and here, this is where we get for real here, so that quite a few suffered and still suffer. You know, I know the devotees are homeless. I heard about it in America and I've seen it here too. I met homeless devotees and tried to help. What can I do? I mean, I was actually, technically speaking, homeless myself for a few weeks or months. one point in my life. So, I mean, I know. I've been out there having to take care of myself after having given the best of my years to serving ISKCON and having no education and no professional experience and nothing at age 44. And many of us have been there, and I guess maybe I'm talking to you because I think we speak the same language. And those who may sit inside us, some still consider themselves doing, maybe, I don't know, who live on the properties, you could say, of ISKCON. You know, buildings and land owned by ISKCON. Well, some may be like us, realistic, and some may still be there in what we would say is that rosy little dream within there. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. That, I would dare saying, that part of it that was perceived as by the general public often as a cult and fought against by some as a cult. And being not in any way by the, you know, the belonging to the tradition of Gaudiya Vaishnavism of India, a cult, but still sometimes in some places taking the shape of a cult. I mean, you need only read the, and I recommend you to do so, the books of about New Vrindavan by, what's his name, Henry Doktorsky is his ordinary name, and there you see, you know, it slipped into, and that book and that example is good, although of course not very pleasant to read always, but it's reality. Okay, we want to get back to reality, don't we? So, but it turned into a cult, which I would say is an example of when it's not reality anymore that counts, but the belonging to the group, the following of the doctrine, and you know, all that, which we've seen so many times. And this is why I didn't like religion, all these religious cults, Christian cults, you know, my grandma belonged to one, you know, I mean, it's no big difference. But then some of those modern, more efficiently, how to say, in a way, forms of religious groups in this sense of charismatic leader, gathering followers, making themselves dependent on the leader and the group and giving up everything else and just serving God by serving him or her. I mean, we've seen it so many times that along that line. But then we saw the same thing happen in ISKCON, which is in a way ironic, but also it's a little strange, because most of us who joined ISKCON back then, in the 70s, late 60s, we were completely against that, such kind of stuff.
Hey, that's not real, get you on.
Outrightness and honesty, high esteem. But then,
you know, it's just
explain why this happens, and I mentioned that before. So anyway, I just wanted to say that. With this program, this episode, it is really to, in a way, set the theme for, I guess, a playlist or podcast here, which I'm starting now. Yeah, with that direction and purpose, and this is what you can expect. But the purpose, actual purpose of this whole series of videos, I don't know how many it will become, maybe only this one or maybe a whole bunch, depends also on the response I get. The purpose of it is that which also always happens sooner or later. They call it reformism. You know, there were these reformators back then in 1983, 84, reformers or whatever you call them. You know, like Martin Luther was doing, you know, and all these stand up bravely criticizing the government. And I really have to pay respect to those devotees, and I have done it personally to some, but I do it publicly here to any one of those who might be listening, and you know who you are. It's tough, you know, when you're dependent on an establishment led by some leaders who are just, you know, basically used to be your friends, or I don't know, but you know, at least peers.
Who then lead you into directions
where you find it's wrong.
But
try to keep you within, you know, the group, and condemning you. Sometimes even in some of those cults, hurting you. So I mean, we're talking real stuff, some serious stuff, but also with the purpose of healing, because that's really what it's. Not just reform by making revolution and kicking out the old government and taking over. But healing, starting with ourselves and the collective, the group of us. And group not in the sense of this, you know, isolated bunch of people inside some bubble made of titanium or something really strong, but in the sense of, you know, sister brotherhood or family of life on earth, which devotees should be first of all the ones who propagate and teach by their own example. So this is, you know, my vision for what this was actually and is about, that Prabhupada founded, and of course it was founded long before by others, but he helped to found this specific branch of it. And first of all, that to see that it's not a little cult founded by one person that you have to follow, otherwise you're out. It's one brand. ISKCON is one branch of a tree. 64 branched Gordian knot, 65 branches then, or whatever. There may be more now, because that's how trees function. They grow, and they grow branches. So, that's the kind of grouping I'm talking about. You know, not that now everyone should return here to under the great, fantastic government that rules the world. And by the way, that great body commissioned GBC, that Prabhupada established, was not his invention. It was established by Bhaktisiddhanta, if not even Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But I think it was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Not as a government, all of that's the word used, and not as a rulership, you know, with the, some king or emperor or a regime. But as a coordinating council, you could say. Governing doesn't mean, you know, necessarily to rule and just be in charge. But, you know, looking over it and see, you know, how does it look? How does it follow the original constitution or guidelines, and you know, and, or not, and then having all the representatives from all the branches meeting now and then to discuss. Yeah, we did this, oh, that was good, we'll do that also. And, oh, I have a problem. Oh, because you do that. Oh, sorry, I fixed that. You know, that kind of way of supporting each other. Not that, you know, here I am, great governing commission government up there with the great, fantastic, super duper leaders. Tell us what to do, where to go. No. So I'm saying, you know, for me, I'm a free Vaishnava. Trying to be a Vaishnava, but, you know, I'm doing it because I want this. Because this Bhakti Yoga makes me happy and fulfilled, and, you know, makes my life make sense and the world makes sense. And I take care of myself financially, having my own little apartment, and you know, I don't need much. I'm just a Swedish, I mean, would be considered a poor pensioner, but I feel rich. So, and I would say there are quite a few of us out there like that. So, welcome, welcome, and let's hang out here together or wherever you want to hang out, and you can make your own channel. But that's really, I guess, what I wanted to touch upon today, that this... We need to look a bit deeper there, because what I've been talking about the purpose of this ISKCON, the purpose of the Vaishnava community, the Gaudiya mission and so on. What is it really? And I, for one, does not see it as a, you know, not just another religious cult, and not as some, you know, a top level control, because then that's when it becomes a cult. When it's like a little, we tried to build a society, a whole country basically, or whatever you want to call it, where everyone should live and be maintained, and a country within the country, a country with its own laws and all of that, its own language and customs and dress code. And I mean, some they try that, some Muslims try it, and maybe those, what they call there in the US, who live like they did a long time ago. You know, anyway, different. But I don't see that the Gaudiya mission was meant to be that. But more like a network around the same hub. And then I say, or the hub of the teachings, the ideas, the mission, the purpose given by the founders of that branch of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. I'm talking back to Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And back, of course, to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna. So, yeah. I say this is the line we're going to look at here, and not by just, you know, inventing some new how I think, you know, like that, but actually looking at the teachings there of Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and the acharyas, not by throwing around quotes back and forth like that, but yeah, we base ourselves, course, on the sources, but also practically what makes sense, because we were of course also taught, and Prabhupada put quite some emphasis on that expression of vairagya, yukta vairagya. We do the needful for Krishna, we adapt, times change, places change, we can't just implant a piece of Indian culture, wham, right there into every country, you know. Yeah, let's put it here in the middle of Iran, Hinduism, good luck. Well, if you can, then you can, but the way I learned it from Prabhupada is that, well, first of all, the purpose is that we ourselves remember Krishna and our relationship to Krishna and go and be awakened to Krishna being everywhere and in our heart and always with us, and that, you know, that's what it means to be Krishna conscious, and that's what it's all about. But to also help others to that. And that's what Prabhupada said. I didn't come, you know, to make you Hindus. I came to make you happy, and I came to help everyone to reconnect or remember their eternal connection to God, whether they call God whatever they call God, whomever, but it's the same. So that was his point, right? So by just looking at this and seeing that when you take this Gaudiya, this West Bengal form of Vaishnavism based on the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, you know, the Acharyas, even from, I guess, Indian viewpoint, conservative, maybe looking like it was back from the 19th or even 16th century. I mean, then you plant it here, you just plop, put it down here in a country and expect it to integrate out into society and, you know, preach and teach and help to get the society in order. It's just not, it's not realistic. And Prabhupada said, he was talking about Yukta Vairagya, because, and he said, half of my work is not complete yet, something, I'm not sure exactly which connection he said that, but my understanding is, and if you think something else, then please write it down, welcome to write here, is that Prabhupada outright told his disciples, you know, but that had to come as a next second step. That yes, you have to take this now and adapt it. He said, write your own books in your own words. And he even told some disciples, go out there, live in the society, dress as people do. But, you know, by your own example and by your own association, spread this. And now in retrospect, because he told disciples that even in the early 70s, but that was changed by other disciples who were then in charge of the glorious pyramid of a great organization, very much the American style, upwards mobility style. So, you know, things there came and changed, and we need to look at that. We need to analyze, or I don't know, maybe someone thinks we don't need, but I want to do that here and just leave my own experiences and what I have, you know, behind, after me, as my contribution, because you learn by your own mistakes, and you learn by the mistakes of the group you're in or the country you are in, and now we can see in the world today, boo, what mistakes are being made one after another by leaders, especially here in Europe, and in, you know, westward from here. We better shape up, come on, people on earth. But, you know, here we are, Vaishnavas, who are supposed to save the world. And you start by saving yourself, of course, and all that. So, I think it's... there may be value to this, what I'm doing here, and if you do the same, It's easy to start a YouTube channel. And if you need help, we have people here who can help you. Just get in touch with me. So, yeah. Thanks for this time. Hare Krishna.